Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Film Podcast. This week we'll be discussing John Carroll Lynch's first film and Harry Dean Stanton's last film, Lucky. I'm Sam Howlett, and as luck would have it, I'm fortunate and serendipitous enough to be favoured, and any other synonyms for lucky I couldn't think of, to be joined by Kelly Powell.
Hello.
Ryan Hewitt.
Hello.
And making his pod debut, Curzon's theatrical marketing manager, Mark Towers.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So if you have any thoughts on Lucky, do not hesitate to let us know at podcast@curzon.com or tweet us at Curzon Cinemas. In one of his final on-screen roles, Harry Dean Stanton plays Lucky, a cantankerous, self-reliant 90-year-old atheist who, having outlived and outsmoked all of his contemporaries, finds himself at the precipice of life, thrust into a journey of self-exploration leading towards that which so often unattainable, enlightenment. Directed by John Carroll Lynch, and with a supporting cast that includes David Lynch, Ron Livingston and Ed Begley Jr., Lucky is at once a love letter to the life and career of Harry Dean Stanton, as well as a meditation on mortality, loneliness, spirituality, and human connection. And I wanted to start with a quote by Harry Dean Stanton that he said in an interview a few years ago. "I only eat so I can smoke and stay alive." And also the film's written by his friend and his former assistant. It's their first screenplay. Right. So I think whatever else the film is about, I think it's first and foremost about Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, yeah, it was written for him. Yeah, they've said explicitly. Yeah. It was written for him as a love letter to him. And it was, I think, just like a horrible irony that he happened to, this was his last role, you know. But even John Carroll Lynch has also said that it was meant to be a love letter, not a swan song.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's how it had happened. But yeah, they wrote it for him specifically as a celebration of his life and career, and also his talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a perfect swan song.
It is, yeah.
Nonetheless, right?
Mm.
Probably the most perfect an actor's ever had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think I read yesterday that he never got to see it because he always wanted to wait until it was actually out in the cinema to and see it rather than go to like a preview or to go to like a special press cast and crew screening. But anyway, I think let's go in talking about how, you know, every Harry Dean Stanton film has led to this film in a way. Just talking about his career in general and how perfect it is that this is the film that caps that off. Like, what do you guys think of Harry Dean Stanton? What kind of films do come to your mind when you think of his career?
Alien. Mm. I always, the first thing I saw him in was Alien.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember seeing him in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it scared the bejesus out of me.
He's
the cat in the cat scene, right?
Yeah, that's how he bites it.
Yeah.
He's the first to bite it after John Hurt, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know, he's got a very memorable face, which I think, because he's obviously, I think even people who don't know who he is, and that's one of the great things about Lucky is I think it's showing, it's putting a face to the name just in time for some people, which is, That he's one of those people that someone always recognises, his face gets etched into your brain.
Yeah.
And even me, I watched that film way too young, Alien, and I was like, my dad showed it to me when I was 8 or 9 or something, and his face just got face of...
It's that baseball cap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he takes it off and like, he gets the water drips in his head.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah. It in. It's the space trucker look.
You know? Yeah. He's ideal for a space trucker.
Yeah.
One of the main films I think of is Repo Man.
Mm.
Just because it's one of my favourite films,
okay.
And it embodies that kind of rebelliousness that I associate with Harry Dean Stanton. He's sort of almost a quiet rebel. He's not the kind of rebel who's going to get in your face and ruin your day, but he is my way, and I'm not interested in anyone else's way. And I do things, I do things my way, and I think that he is that in Repo Man. He's just so he's got that wisdom's coming through as well. At that point, he's just a wise character.
Mm.
That continues through the rest of his career, and particularly in Lucky.
Yeah, well, for me, it's Paris, Texas. That's one of my favourite, all-time favourite films. Mm. And he's just incredible in it, and such a memorable performance.
Mm.
And there's lots of similarities, I think, between that film and this film. And you know, it is kind of, you know, working with Wim Wenders. It was supposed to be the sort of turn of his career as a leading man, you know. And he himself has said that he thought that would be the role to change, you know, the way that his career sort of went. But unfortunately, he wasn't lucky enough in that sense.
Yeah, and I remember when he died, there was loads of stories about he turned down a lot of big roles just because he kind of couldn't be bothered. Not couldn't be bothered, but he was. There was one quote from him where he's like, "From huge part in this really big TV show." They didn't say what the TV show was, but he said in an interview, like, I could have done it, or I could have just done nothing for a few months. And I decided I'd actually rather just do nothing for a few months.
He's an interesting character. I listened to a very long interview on the WTF podcast with him a while ago, which was incredible if you get a chance to listen to it. It's a really insightful interview, because he's notorious for not doing, like, long interviews introspective. But he did say that was a movie that he thought was going to be, I don't know, he wanted people to see him maybe in a different light, but he was also very specific about the things that he did choose.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to be in control of his career, but just things didn't work out in the way that I think he thought they were going to.
I think what you say about his reluctance to do interviews is partly what makes Lucky such a treat, because it feels, in a sense, it feels like a massive interview, and he's telling all these anecdotes about
true,
his life. Enough of those stories that he tells in the film we know are true, things about his service in the Navy, that you can assume that all of the anecdotes are possibly like Harry Dean Stanton's anecdotes, even ones we haven't heard before, and he goes through his whole life, his childhood in Kentucky, right through to where he is now.
Peppered with truths.
Tells this story about it's a mockingbird, I think.
Like,
that could easily just be written because it's a really nice kind of symbol, or it could be straight out of his life. If someone asked me to place a bet, I would have no way which way, no idea which way to go.
Which I would totally say it's real.
Yeah, well,
they said it in Kentucky, and he grew up in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Just seems like the little clue you need to know that it is something that Harry Dean Stanton
did.
But then the whole thing about everything that's said in Lucky is there's that key line where he says something to the effect of, story isn't truth. Do you remember that line?
Yeah, it's this long kind of...
My truth is not your truth, or something like that. Because the whole thing is like, what you see is what you get.
Exactly.
Like, realism, reality.
Is not what I get.
Exactly. It's like perspective and truths, and who's telling, from whose perspective are you seeing this sort of truth or reality?
Exactly. And with that in mind, maybe there is some embellishment in the Mockingbird story. But
Yeah. To his acting ability as well, you know. I think that's the main things that people don't recognize. I mean, I read a bunch of reviews and people are saying, like, just give him his Oscar already, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people don't realize, like how great of an actor he really was, like, one of the best of his generations, you know. His career and his abilities have sort of been overlooked, I think, which is why this movie is sort of bringing to the fore all of these discussions.
Yeah, I think I know most from his films, David Lynch films he's in. So he's in Firewalk With Me, he's in Wild at Heart. He's in The Straight Story, and he's in the Twin Peaks: The Return. And then David Lynch is in this as well. That's just a kind of nice working relationship they clearly had. And also he looks like a David Lynch character.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And acts like a David Lynch character. Not in a frightening way, but just in a kind of off-kilter, weird Western American kind of way. Mm. So let's move on to some of the sort of the side characters in the film, because it has a lot of actors who are just kind of like, oh, that guy, oh, that guy. Mm-hmm. And David Lynch is the weirdest of all of them. I mean, I don't know how great an actor David Lynch is often. He's obviously in Twin Peaks, but that kind of acting works very well in Twin Peaks. Here, I don't know, it's a weird choice to have him in the film.
It's odd. I've seen the film twice.
Yeah.
Right? And the first time round, I was like, ooh, yeah, that's like not chiming as harmoniously as it does in something like Twin Peaks, maybe. But then this time, I think I felt like those bar scenes, which he's exclusively in, because there's a bit straight after one of those scenes, which I'm not sure if we can talk about, but it's like David Lynch just took over the crew and just took over the set and was like, suddenly we're into like surrealism. Lynch. So then maybe on my second time you fit in a bit much. Maybe I'm just trying to be kind to David Lynch. I'm just getting out of my way. But
no, I agree, because also there's James Darren is one of the guys in there who's like a lounge singer.
He's
a musician, and that feels like a very Lynchian thing.
Casting.
And he does that acting. The weird way singers act in films, especially male singers of that age. It's like this strange way they all seem to act.
Yeah, are you talking about the bit with the red light?
Really
Lynchy.
Like, and it stands out from the rest of the film because it does really go. I was expecting people, he's going to go down that staircase and there's people talking backwards. And
exactly. I think that whole bar is Lynchian in that way. Like all of the people who exist there, and that world, and just the stories they tell and the way they tell it is very, has that sort of edge. But maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I think that the film is also taking you through his career in a way, like the bar scene is sort of like his Lynch connections, and you know the desert scenes like Wim Wenders and his wandering Travis character, that we're almost like seeing Travis, you know, 40 years later, however many years it is. It's almost like you're tracking certain characters and things that he's been associated with throughout his career in this film, which might be a reason that it feels a bit different and weird in the bar.
Can I say that I think one of the best stories in that bar is a complete exposition of the rules of Deal or No Deal. And then Harry Dean says, Lucky, says my opinion about it, which is convoluted something.
It's rubbish.
Like, I have to wait a whole hour to see what he's
like, that's exactly what I thought when watching Noel Edmonds.
Exactly. Oh, he's a surly character.
The film that I really found similar to this in a way was is Patterson from 2 years ago. Obviously it's, you know, has a lot of differences, but just this idea that you're just watching someone over the 3 days of their life, and there's no major incident, and without, you can't really spoil this film because nothing really happens, but like, it's hard to work out how much the character has changed in those 3 days, if they have at all. I don't know.
I think he does.
Patterson's very much like, nothing changes, everything goes the same. Yeah. It's just 3 days or however many days in this bus driver's life. And this, I don't know, what did you think? Do you think there's like a major, like, sort of an arc as a change to him?
I do. I think Patterson is a great comparison piece to this. For pace and performance and setting and everything. I think it's a really good comparison to make. But I do think Lucky goes through a very significant change in this film that maybe I didn't see in Patterson.
I think he goes from cynical nihilism to optimistic nihilism.
Okay.
Nihilism's definitely a word.
So he starts with realism, and you touched on the subjectivity versus objectivity thing, and then at the end, not to spoil it, but we get this like kind of an a poetic explanation of, I think, kind of optimistic nihilism, of where it's like, well, it all doesn't mean anything, so just make for it what you want. It's really nice. Well,
he says, just smile.
Smile. Exactly. Oh, and that's what makes it such a touching last film.
Exactly.
And then he lights up, right?
He lights up.
Yeah, of course he does.
And then
with an act of rebellion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a moving anecdote, actually, the one in the diner where he meets his the marine. I don't know.
Tom Skerritt.
Yeah.
And from then, Alien.
You see, all throughout his career, they're touching on his past. I think that sort of also starts to change, you know, how he views things, because that is also from, that's a history telling, being told from a different perspective as well, you know. And I think that's how his character sort of goes through this arc and, like, chooses to see maybe a different kind of realism that might exist at the same time. Optimistic nihilism, rather. Because otherwise, why not? You know, if nothing matters, then why not try be happy?
There's also, in those stories, I think what's really nice is the film is a collection of him telling stories or listening to stories, but the writing really nicely then exposes a side of his character in an indirect way. And there was that one where he's talking about the suicide bomber coming in, and they talk about how it was a lucky shot that it didn't hit the boat, and he says, not for the suicide
bomber. Exactly.
And then there's another time when he's talking to the life insurance salesman.
To Ron Livingston.
And he says, you know, I'm preparing for my family to make sure that everything's fine when I go and everything. And he says, so it'll all be in order and they don't have to worry about a thing. And he says, well, it won't make a difference to you. You'll be dead either way. And it was like this intensely selfish view.
Exactly,
Livingston looks at him and thinks, well, that's what someone who doesn't have a family would say. But you can see he doesn't want to say it. And he smiles.
Exactly.
It's a really nice moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's like part of his arc to that point at the end we were just referring to.
Yeah,
I like the Ron Livingston character quite a lot, this idea of preparing for the end is what he describes it as, doesn't he? And he has, it's funny because he looks like he should be the most wise person in the room, but in lots of ways Ron Livingston is the one with the wisdom about what's coming, or the one who's accepted it more than Harry Dean Stanton, who claims he's accepting it all the way through. And he says things like preparing for the unexpected, and then Lucky will say, what's unexpected? I know this is happening. But he's actually the one who has yet to come to terms with what's happening. And Ron Livingston's salesman character is very gentle with him. And like you say, even when he sees that Lucky hasn't worked this out yet, he doesn't call him out on it. He doesn't try and make him feel bad. He says, okay, you'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of different perspectives, you could also flip it around, and maybe he does have the wisdom because actually it doesn't matter. Like the material things don't matter, and like once you're gone, you're gone. And I think, I think that is definitely a perspective of someone who's lived alone his life. You know, as the stoic character that doesn't have a family who. And because of that reason, you can be philosophical with him in that way. You know, you can think about things like, oh, it doesn't matter, you know. He doesn't have anything to leave to anybody anyway, so why does he have to think about that perspective? Whereas the sort of other flip side of that realism is, people with families have to, like, have their will and testament in order before they die. I think that for him, it doesn't matter. And it is a little bit sad in a way. It's like, okay, you kind of do have to accept that in the end, you know, he says at one point in the movie, he's like, the most beautiful thing is that, you know, you come into the world alone and you die alone. He thinks that that is the most beautiful thing. That's his sort of worldview, in my opinion.
All one.
Yeah, exactly. All one, alone, yeah. And he says, you know, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely, because he chooses to be alone.
But did you get a sense that he's kidding himself, though, in order to deal with it?
Probably.
All of this spiel is actually
maybe a reflection on your life lived alone.
And because when the diner waitress that comes and visits him, and that's the one point where he says, I'm scared, like, that's maybe one of the only times he sort of lets this, like you say, it's not quite an axe, but a little bit of a shield.
Yeah.
He lets the shield down for that one little moment.
Yeah, he becomes more vulnerable at that moment.
So Jake, who isn't here today, but he thinks Lucky is the tortoise, like there's a connection there. Kelly thinks Lucky is the cactus.
Yes. It's like looking at a self-portrait.
Yeah. Is Lucky the tortoise or the cactus?
Well, my opinion is the cactus, obviously.
But the cactus is surrounded by other cacti. Yes. Whereas he's not, the tortoise is alone.
Maybe.
The tortoise is alone wandering.
But he's surrounded, I mean, a cactus stands alone. Stands alone, but is surrounded by other cacti that are in their own sort of spaces.
True.
So that's kind of like his community in the small town.
Yes.
You know? Like
yes.
These weird individual characters that are, you know, sort of circulate around him.
One thing I noticed on the second time is that, and probably everyone noticed except me on the first time, is that when he's looking at that cactus, he's looking at it where it sprouts the new ones.
Yeah.
Mm. From it, and the camera pans up to that, and it's kind of this, I suppose, a rebirth in a materialistic way kind of thing. And you go back into the dust and you'll come back up. And, that's so, yeah, I think he could be the cactus. You've convinced me.
Okay, so.
Yeah, and there's a really great line about the tortoise that he carries around the thing that protects him, but ultimately he's carrying around his coffin.
Oh, that's Lynch's.
That's
Lynch's.
Like,
Howard or whatever his character's name is.
Such a Lynch speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that he's leaving everything to the tortoise. Like, that's
why. Yeah, oh, I love when he accepts that the tortoise might not come back, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He's like, if he needs me, he knows where I am.
That's good.
Thank you. The music's really interesting in the film as well.
Yeah, I think there's some really interesting choices of music that sort of almost slip under the radar because a lot of them are in Spanish language, sung by like mariachi bands.
Yeah.
But they're obviously selected for a particular reason. That one of the first songs that Lucky wakes up to, his radio alarm goes off and then a song's playing, I think, and it's called, I'm going to try this, Con el tiempo y un canchito, which loosely translates to with time and a little luck.
When a Spanish person said it.
Which is a really nice way to introduce the character, and then we see this idea of luck. Obviously his name is Lucky, but the idea of fate and luck returns constantly throughout the film, not only in the music, but also just people are always saying things like, you're here through, like the doctor says, you're here through genetic good luck,
and you're
a one time son of a bitch. And this constant recurrence of this theme that gets set up with that opening song. And then towards the end, when he's having his revelation, and he goes to a little birthday party, and he breaks into song, and he sings Volver, Volver, which I think is probably a minor reference to Paris, Texas in a way, because Ry Cooder did a version of Volver, Volver in 77, and obviously Ry Cooder did the score for Paris, Texas, but that's an aside. But that kind of means, I think, again, to return, to return, which feeds into what you're saying about the cactus, maybe, is this idea of I'm going to go, but I will never really go. And that's particularly true for an actor who's permanently on screen. We can always, I mean, you know, we're watching this film after Harry Dean Stanton has gone.
Yeah.
And there's this also one final thing on the music. There's this constant returning of a kind of harmonica version of When the Saints Go Marching In, which is ever so slightly odd because I feel like he's positioned as something of an atheist, whereas this is obviously a song about going to heaven. But even so, it's a really nice returning kind of theme that comes through.
There's the Johnny Cash song. And that scene as his music, especially those albums, are seen as swan songs in themselves, aren't they? Some of the greatest that music's ever given us. And so it was an interesting choice to have that.
Yeah.
Especially since it wasn't meant to be a swan song.
And we haven't spoken about the fact that it's directed by John Carroll Lynch, who's one of these actors that you just kind of...
Another one
is like, oh, that guy who was in he's Marge Gunderson's husband in Fargo.
Yeah.
And he's the Well, maybe he's the Zodiac Killer in Zodiac. He's Twisty the Clown in American Horror Story. How do you think he did for his first directing gig?
I thought it was pretty damn good.
I think it's really brilliant. I mean, it's a collection of homages to Harry Dean Stanton's past career, but it doesn't feel overtly like that. It's really subtle, and it's a very, really lovely film. And he has a voice part in it, doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
He's on the he's the voice of an advert when Harry Dean Stanton's watching the TV.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he's selling. It's something. It's relevant, but I forget.
Yeah. I think there's a noticeable lack of ego, I think, in this film with him. I think that he does, it's almost is like, you know, it's for, in service to his material. And you can feel it. But even though he it's very like, he's definitely got a vision and he executes it really, really brilliantly. It is subtle. He did a great job.
I think he just told Harry Dean Stanton, just do what you want.
Hand the mic over there.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
Or David Lynch at one point.
You've also got Beth Grant as the owner of the bar. She's, for me, she'll always be the teacher from Donnie Darko.
Sparkle Motion.
Yeah. we've mentioned Tom Skerritt. Ed Begley Jr. is the doctor, who is Stan Sitwell. The hairless freak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
He's got the stuck on eyebrows that go up to his head.
I forgot.
But the fact that John Carroll Lynch is kind of one of these like weird character actors, and everyone in the film is also a slightly weird character actor. The film is a kind of love letter to weird character actors in a way, that they're finally getting their dues on screen.
It would feel weird if there was a like a headline actor in there. You know, it's got to be all those people you're like, oh, I've seen him in blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, and they're all like, they all hang out in that Lynchian bar together. You know, I think that was, I would imagine that's intentional.
Yeah, definitely.
They must have a society, a club in Hollywood.
Exactly.
John Carroll Lynch has got a head vice president.
The C-list club. does anyone have any final thoughts then on Lucky? I think we can all agree it's a pretty special film actually, and it's so unassuming and laid back, and you know, I think you've said a few times, Mark, that you've noticed things on like second viewing. I think it's one of those things where it's so like so sort of chilled out that it takes a while for it to sink in, and you realise how really great it is and how sort of poignant it is.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, second viewing for me was by far better than the first viewing, because I suppose it's because you know what to expect.
Yeah.
And you're expecting a lot more from it, I think, the first time round.
Yeah, I think so.
Once you accept that it is what it is, it suddenly opens up and you see all the detail and everything that's in it. And
it's a great metaphor.
Yeah,
the first watch just takes you on this journey. And the second is like, oh, that happened. It's almost like a reflection of time that's gone by already.
And it ends with the lead character looking at the camera, which, when that happened in The Revenant, I think the whole cinema went, ugh. But when it happens here, it's just very much...
It feels right.
It feels perfect. It was the perfect
way. Someone needs to make a supercut of films ending with a fourth wall break.
Just
see how many there is.
If only he winked, it would have been better.
Yeah.
So that is Lucky, which is out in cinemas today and is available on Curzon Home Cinema. You can also catch a new Curzon Home Cinema collection called American Independence, and that includes Paris, Texas, Patterson, Appropriate Behaviour, which is directed by Desiree Akavan, who's directed The Miseducation at Cameron Post, which we spoke about in last week's podcast, The Florida Project, Reservoir Dogs, Heathers, and several others. So do check that out if you're in the mood for these kind of weird, slow American movies. So that's goodbye from Mark.
Goodbye.
Coming on.
Thank you.
Goodbye from Ryan.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Kelly.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.